Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. We're quite possessive. He joins us weekly. The films are The Lodge, Young Ahmed, and The Assistant. Would you like a sentence?
I know you could make those not only into a sentence, but into a gripping short story. But in fact, they are the titles of three very different movies that have not a whole lot in common with each other. And why don't I just jump right in now into the first one?
I've been rejected, but go ahead.
Well, that's what we're here for. So, okay, The Lodge. The Lodge is the least serious in terms of theme of the three movies today. It's a horror movie, and as I often say, I like horror movies a lot, and this one's a pretty good one. I mean, it's a very effective one. Ultimately, it's very old-fashioned. It's new-fashioned in terms of sort of the gore and the creepy atmosphere and so forth, but it's a haunted house movie is basically what it comes down to. So we have here a boy and a girl, a boy named Aiden and his little sister Mia, and their father and mother have recently gotten divorced. We see the mother a little bit at the beginning of the movie. She's played by Alicia Silverstone, although she then disappears from the movie fairly early in a very remarkable way, which I certainly won't give a spoiler about, even though it's right at the beginning of the movie. She kind of exits the film. And we then have the father who is getting ready to marry his new fiance, and through plotty things that screenwriters put together, he's not going to be around himself for a while, but the new fiancé and the two children are going to go off to this country place. It's the middle of winter. It's Christmas time. And they're going to spend some time there with their new about-to-be stepmother, who they don't like at all. And we also find out very early in the film that this stepmother has an odd history. When she was a child, her mother was part of a cult where everybody committed suicide. And they're about to be stepmother when she was a girl, was the only survivor of this horror. So he has this very bizarre background involving a religious cult and a mass suicide that she survived and so forth. And now she's about to marry their father and they're alone with her in this house way out in the middle of nowhere in the middle of winter and snow is falling everywhere, etc. So from there, we start to get into the horror of the thing, and things start going wrong, and things start just little things and big things. The electricity goes, and this goes, and that goes, and nobody can get any signal on their cell phone, and so they're really trapped there with her. And it is unclear as to whether the new stepmother, whose name is Grace, by the way, a little religious symbolism there, apparently, whether she is losing her mind and is either doing insane things or is perceiving insane things. And we do know that she takes medications and that her medications are one of the things that disappear. Is she now going psychotic or is there really something supernatural going on here that is threatening all of them equally? So that's what the movie is about. So basically, again, it is basically what I am calling a haunted house movie, where you have these three people, two of whom are children, trapped in this house. And most of the movie is a three-character melodrama with the three of them in the house and all kinds of horrific things happening. So I found the movie fairly effective. Ultimately, and this is something that critics have already been commenting on, the plot is a little bit hard to figure out. Again, it's kind of ambiguous as to exactly why various things are happening, and it's not all necessarily cleared up at the end. That said, all of the acting is good, especially Riley Keough as the about-to-be stepmother, who may or may not be going totally insane and has the bizarre history. And the kids are good, and pretty much everybody is good. And if you like horror movies, and especially if you like the sort of oh, somewhat minimalist haunted house kind, where there's just a few people who are trapped and their enemies are one another as well as the situation they're in, then, you know, if that's the kind of thing you like, then this is a very effective example of the breed. That said, I can't call it one of the more inspired horror movies in recent film history. The film was directed by Severin Fiala and Veronica Franz. They definitely have a talent for this sort of thing, and I'm hoping for more good horror out of them in the future, maybe even better horror than this. Moving now to our second film, which is, yes, very serious, and it is by very major filmmakers. It's called Young Ahmed, and it is a Belgian film. Technically, it's a French-Belgian film, but it is by two Belgian directors, very, very fine ones who have been around for very many, many years, Jean-Pierre and Luc Dardenne. And they are extremely gifted filmmakers. And in fact, Young Ahmed won the Best Director Prize at the last Cannes Film Festival, and it certainly deserves that. Now, the Dardenne brothers have a signature style, and they've done this in most of their films since the very beginning of their career, which has been going on for a lot of years now. And the signature style is as follows. They generally put their camera right at the beginning, really close to their main character, and the camera pretty much stays there throughout the entire film. So, of course, we're seeing various people around the main character, and we're seeing the environments that the main character is in and so forth, but mainly the camera is really close on that main character, and this gives us a kind of a psychological intimacy and also a kind of a claustrophobia feeling, in a way, especially when the main character is caught in some kind of uncomfortable situation. So their movies tend to be both narratively and psychologically very intense, with, again, a whole lot of focus on one person. There's less of a sense of atmosphere around that main character because the camera is almost invariably so close to that main character, you always know what's going on, and you always get this sense of psychological, emotional closeness. Now, in the case of Young Ahmed, the main character is a boy who's about 13 years old, and his name is Ahmed, and as his name might suggest, he is and does in fact come from a Muslim family living in Belgium, and he has an imam who also runs a store in the area, who runs a small mosque. And the imam is a fairly extremist character, it turns out. And in fact, our main character, Ahmed, has an older relative who recently sacrificed himself in a suicidal act. And Ahmed is very, very impressed by this and worships the memory of this slightly older relative and aspires to do something like that himself as well. So the imam is encouraging him along these lines. And what young Ahmed decides to do, and this is all entirely on his own, the imam, again, is encouraging him to, yes, join in the jihad and be rebellious against the Christian culture around you and so forth, but he's not encouraging him to violence. He's saying we must wait for that kind of thing. But Ahmed decides all on his own to kill his language teacher. And this, the imam is partly responsible for this. The language teacher wants to help the kids learn Arabic by singing. And the imam regards this as sacrilegious. This is blasphemous. You should only learn Arabic from the Quran. But this young language teacher wants to supplement the Quran by having the kids learn songs as well in Arabic. So anyway, this is a bit of a controversy, and Ahmed takes action on his own, decides to kill his language teacher, and fails at it, and is then sent off to a rehabilitation center, some sort of a juvenile rehabilitation institution, where he is then visited with all kinds of tender mercies. I must say that these Belgian authorities are very, very enlightened and very compassionate, and they really want to help this young man who has gone astray. And they do everything they can to kind of bring him around, and they're trying to set up a meeting between him and the language teacher who he tried to kill, and they're waiting until she's ready for that because she has been very traumatized by all of this. And we get to wonder while we watch this play out whether young Ahmed has learned his lesson, or whether he is in fact perhaps still harboring these kinds of very antisocial tendencies, and more than tendencies. And there are other characters who are involved in it, certainly various people who work at this youth institution. His mother is a part of all of this. She just wants her boy to grow up to be a nice young man, and so forth. So all of this, again, is intensely serious, and young Ahmed has generated a certain amount of controversy. In fact, the Dardenne brothers come always in their filmmaking for many, many years, from a very, they are very serious Roman Catholic believers. And their movies, even though their movies rarely deal with religion, their movies always reflect this kind of Christian ideal of forgiveness and loving one's enemies and so forth, and also this great compassion for the oppressed. Well, Ahmed is not exactly oppressed, and it's not exactly clear what is driving him, and he does seem to be perhaps incorrigible in this desire to join in jihad and do violent acts on the behalf of Islam. And it's not exactly clear just where the Darden brothers stand on all this, and some have accused them of being basically prejudiced against this young Islamic character by showing him to be potentially very violent, and seeing this as very closely linked with his Islamic faith. That said, I think the movie is valuable precisely because it raises these kinds of questions and these kinds of issues and really gets you thinking about them while you're watching the film. Also, it is just sensational filmmaking. The acting is absolutely marvelous. And again, the Darden brothers' signature style, that close-in camera, works really well here. It's a very intense drama, and it raises really, really serious issues in all kinds of ways. And I highly, highly recommend it. It's certainly one of the very best movies that I've seen in this so far young movie year. Finally, turning to our third film today, The Assistant. This was written and directed by Kitty Green. Her earlier movie was a film called Casting Jean-Benet, which was a very unconventional documentary about the murder of the young child model Jean-Benet Ramsey. This movie is a fictional film, but it also deals very, very strongly with what amount to feminist issues. And The Assistant, even though nowhere is this ever stated in the movie, it is clearly based very much on things that happened at Miramax Pictures. I saw this movie on the exact day that Harvey Weinstein was at the top of the news of getting sentenced for his getting convicted. He has not yet been sentenced for some of his serial sexual misdeeds. I knew Harvey back in my New York days, and my gosh, I just knew him as a movie person, but I have been following to some extent and have read both of the big books about the tremendous investigations into Harvey Weinstein in these days, and the things that went on with him and that went on with Miramax were clearly, really, really, really unsavory. And The Assistant, again, this is never stated, but it's about a small movie company in Lower Manhattan, and it really looks like Miramax Pictures in its earlier days when it was smaller than it ultimately became and then got sold and so forth. So we have a young woman who is working there as an assistant, and we find, played, by the way, brilliantly played by Julia Garner, and we find out various things about her employment for this little movie company in the earlier parts of the film. She's been working there for about 5 weeks, not very long. She's really, really smart. She went to Northwestern. She had sensational grades. That's how she got this job. And it's this old traditional kind of movie industry thing. You sort of start off working in the mailroom. Well, she starts off working as an assistant, and she is hoping that this is going to be able to elevate her eventually to her ambition, which is to become a movie producer. Her job as an assistant entails everything from dealing with the boss's mother when wife, when she calls to complain about the credit card, and she has to sort of get this wife off the phone so that the boss won't be bothered, all the way from things like that to literally washing the dishes in the snack room and everything in between, doing logistical things and doing janitorial things, et cetera, et cetera. And she gets the impression one day that another young assistant who has just been hired has really been hired more for sexual services than for any sort of legitimate assistant functions. She finds out that this brand new other assistant is being put up at a fancy hotel for the afternoon. She happens to notice that the boss is gone for that afternoon, and she gets the idea that something unsavory is going on, and so she goes to the HR person. She goes to the human resources department, and she explains what's been going on, and she is met with great sympathy by the HR person, and the HR person then changes his tune and starts telling her that, well, I'll put this complaint through if you want me to, but you know it's going to be the end of any possibilities you have at this company, and maybe even, et cetera. You get the picture. So she is sort of stuck, and that is sort of where the movie leaves things. The Assistant is about the Me Too movement. It is about what goes on at a small film company, very much like Miramax Pictures used to be. It is about especially the plight of one young woman who is very conscientious and who really thinks something wrong is going on here, but also really would like to do something about it, but also comes to realize that maybe there is absolutely nothing that she can do about it. All of this in a movie which is absolutely minimalist in style. It is a quiet movie. It is a delicate movie. It is a movie that operates almost entirely through nuance, not one blunt statement anywhere in the film, and it is just beautifully realized. You have to be ready for this film for something that's going to make you sit there and pay attention, and it's not going to jump out at you, and it's not going to hit you over the head with any messages, but I think the messages come through all the louder and plainer on account of that. So it's one of the really, again, a really terrific movie. We have had some excellent movies in this year so far, even though we're still only at the very beginning of it, and The Assistant, written and directed by Kitty Green, is one of the very best. So that is my somewhat upbeat story this week, Jill.
Yay, thank you very much. David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films The Lodge, Young Ahmed, and The Assistant.